We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hall. Up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
We go ahead.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
Do you believe Manny Machado wants to play for the White Sox? Why or why not?
No, I don't think he wants to play for the White Sox. I think if he wanted to play for the White Sox, he'd already be playing for the White Sox. I think that he's looking for the best offer he can get, and he hasn't found it yet, and he doesn't have any other offers, and spring training has started, and they got a locker spot for him and all the rest of it, but he wants to get paid. God bless him. I don't blame him at all. He's on the auction block, and he wants to get the most money he can get, and he's waiting to see if he can get a better offer. Doesn't mean he won't play for the White Sox, but want to? Of course not.
Unless there's a Twitter report from WetButt23, I'll probably just stay quiet.
Mully and Hall.
I think they're kind of kindred spirits in a sense.
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
Porter again. Got it! Otto Porter Jr. on fire with a topside 18-footer. And he's poured in 37 on the night.
Oh, my.
By the way, Otto Porter Jr. didn't get the memo.
Did you not get the memo?
Apparently, he's not trying for Zion.
He was asked to describe himself after the game, and he said, I'm a winner. And nobody's arguing with that. But that's going to be a problem because he makes the Bulls better. 16 of 20.
I was watching the Ramblers lose, so I kept going back and forth. And every time I would go back, he'd hit a shot.
The Bulls look like an NBA team offensively last night again.
Right.
They have multiple ball handlers, as Jim Boylan likes to point out, and it worked. Zach LaVine was bringing the ball up.
Yep.
Couldn't help but watch that and think, okay, they're missing Chris Dunn, and this is working so well, and they're missing Chris Dunn.
Well, I think it's exactly the opposite. They're not missing Chris Dunn.
That's the point.
Mully and Hall.
Wet Butt 23.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Are you disappointed at all in any way, David, that the Manny Machado didn't come to a complete stop yesterday?
I'm very disappointed.
You, at one point, kind of were trying to convince me that
I was trying to convince you yesterday was the day. Yeah. I fell for the whole, you know, kind of idea that, boy, you know, the pitchers and catchers report Machado's going to be on his way. They're having the big fan thing at the Guaranteed Rate Field where they were throwing against the gun.
Did you see the winner threw 76 miles an hour?
Yeah, but late movement on the fastball.
Just saying. 76? Now, it's cold out. I get it. What does that translate to in Arizona? I don't know, but I don't think it's probably 96.
Probably a 400-foot home run.
And again, it wasn't a tryout. It wasn't like they were going to sign someone.
They were sending somebody to the spring training. It was a fan thing.
And it was good.
I thought yesterday was the day, but no, it's not going to be the day. Maybe today will be. I don't know.
Did you just... You can be honest now. Did you really think it was going to be the day, or were you just trolling me yet again? Because you've taken to trolling me.
Okay.
I can't decide who's trolling you more.
Honestly, probably.
You or Manny.
Yeah, well,
probably a little both.
I was maybe trolling you a little bit.
Yeah,
I kind of get caught up in it a little bit as well. It's kind of fun to troll you on that, though, because you know, it was your birthday, and Manny sent you a nice message. And
that's right. Exactly. And Manny reached out to me.
I felt like I was continuing with the party. No, maybe today's the day. I don't know. Look, we have a lot going on. I want to get to one thing though before
Please.
We get to Mark Gannis is at 7:20.
Yes.
He's a sports consultant who's an expert in the field. He can talk to us about the Sinclair deal, about the Cubs, you know, new network. Crane Kenny at 8:30, Julie DeCaro at 8:00. We have a lot to talk about. But I want to get before we get into that baseball. You said something earlier that I think, what do you have against Joe Flacco? Flacco traded from the Ravens to the Broncos yesterday in a deal that I feel like gives Vic Fangio an actual shot to do something in his first season because
this one's for Pat.
It's not a spectacular move, but it's a solid move. And
really?
I think Flacco in the right system trying to maybe prove that he is better than people think he is at this point of his career.
Oh, well.
There are worse moves that will be made this offseason. I thought it was pretty good for Vic Fangio. You don't, though. I sense skepticism. Yes.
Well, I don't think people understand how to – first of all, I think it's not a real secret that it's very difficult to kind of what would you call it, evaluate the quarterback position. Everyone seems to struggle with it. We see nonsensical moves made all the time. But now you got Joe Flacco, who is going out to Denver, and to me, he falls in line with, you know, with drafting, and I know this isn't on John Elway, but things the organization has done, like Tim Tebow drafting him, like signing the ghost to Peyton Manning, like going out and getting yourself what you think is a really good pickup with last year with Case Keenum. You know, didn't they use a first-round pick on Paxton Lynch? They've done a lot of different moves, and none of them seems to really work out.
Peyton Manning won a Super
somehow
Bowl,
become the,
by the way.
As I said, the ghost of Peyton Manning. And let's be honest about it. Peyton Manning did not win a Super Bowl.
He didn't lose
Peyton Manning, Rex Grossman, a trip to the Super Bowl.
He didn't lose
and
it.
Didn't lose it.
Okay.
That's fair enough. But the defense won that Super Bowl.
He Dilfered it.
He Dilfered
a
Super Bowl.
He Dilfered it.
That's much better.
That's good.
He Dilfered it. Very good, Kevin. But let's be honest about it. When you start talking about what they've done, they brought in a guy here who is, well, how would you describe him? Well, physically, he's tall. That would be the characteristic. He was replaced by Lamar Jackson, a running quarterback who could not throw effectively, okay? And he couldn't beat that guy out in Baltimore.
Well,
and had
different skill set, different agenda, different kind of approach.
The NFL is different, okay? And you go from – what's the difference between Case Keenum and Joe Flacco? Case Keenum is probably significantly shorter, and Case Keenum is probably significantly more mobile. So now you got a 6'5 statue in the waning moments of his career.
Significantly less accomplished as well.
What has Joe Flacco done other than one season when his contract came up? He won a Super Bowl. That's a great accomplishment.
It's a pretty big accomplishment.
I'll finish it. What has he done since then?
Okay.
He has done nothing, David.
He's
been pretty garbage for the past few years, being brutally honest about it.
I don't disagree.
Why do you think they drafted Lamar Jackson? Why do you think they played him over Flacco and just made a decision between the two guys? The money is the only thing that kept Flacco in his job, because he was pretty mediocre.
He's 34 years old, and he's been ordinary. And I think
he can't move. And it's the NFL, everybody's drafting a young mobile quarterback that can fit an offensive scheme.
But look at the team he's joining, though. It's a defensive-first football team.
Well, they're going to run the ball and play defense.
They're going to run the ball and play defense. And you want a guy that's not going to turn it over,
right,
who's going to stabilize the position. And I think they got that, even though they're spending a lot of money.
I don't think it's much of an upgrade from Case Keenum.
Okay.
I think that Case Keenum has had a better year more recently than Joe Flacco. The change of pace, is that going to change it? I think of Joe Flacco, you know what I think? Done. I don't think, oh, there's the future. Oh, that's a great bridge. I think washed up. Now, maybe he'll be better. Maybe they'll run the ball.
A lot
maybe
of love for Case Keenum.
They'll go down the – I don't have any love for Case Keenum.
No, I mean, a lot of people are showing a lot of love for Case Keenum, and I think that when you look at what he did in Minnesota, it almost overlooks the fact that he had a really good coordinator, had a really good talent around him, and I think that he is the consummate bridge guy, but I just don't know where that bridge leads. So I understand why they would go out and trade for Joe Flacco. I understand why Vic Fangio would want to turn his offense over to a guy who is not necessarily going to be your quarterback of the future, but will help you maybe answer some questions heading into next season that's going to be built around defense in the running game.
The idea that if you're Baltimore and you get a mid-round pick for Joe Flacco, you won that deal because you got him off your books. And you know, and I'm not trying to be a complete jerk about it and rip Joe Flacco. But again, I think if you break down the numbers and look at what he's done, he's had, you know, one above average season since the Super Bowl. It's great. He had an unbelievable year. He hit everything. He could throw down the field. He proved it. They made him prove it, and he did it, and they won a Super Bowl, and then they rewarded him, and then they regretted it every year since.
Yeah, and I think that the Ravens were at a different point in their development than certainly the Broncos. The Ravens, it was time to move on. They had to move on. They wanted a draft pick. They had turned things over to Lamar Jackson for good reason. and they weren't going to go backward with going to Joe Flacco. I think the Broncos are a different state, a different stage. And yeah, I get it.
Well, I mean, it was just
something point of discussion.
I know, but you want to attack me for my evaluation of Joe Flacco.
I'm not attacking.
David, was Mike Glennon not available? Because you got yourself a nice tall statue. I don't know. Does he like that same song?
Now, you have to admit, that's a little unfair.
That's totally unfair. Okay. And it was
I'm not attacking.
But I felt like you tried to corner me.
I didn't try to corner you. I wanted to explore that a little bit more. You explained it well, why you thought that Joe Flacco was a bad move for the Broncos. If I'm a Broncos fan, I'm not excited this morning, but I don't know that I have as much doubt or, you know.
Who they draft?
Flacco's one thing he does before every game day is play Kenny Chesney's The Boys of Fall on the drive to the stadium to remind him why he does what he does, and says it fires him up.
I feel that chill.
That applies to both David or Mike Glennon.
I do listen to that on the way to the Bears game.
I wonder if Joe Flacco does.
I don't know what kind of music Joe Flacco likes, the former Delaware Blue Hen. I don't know.
Former Pitt. Did you know that?
Dave
had him, and he wasn't going to play him.
Ran him out of town.
That's what Joe Flacco said.
that's how his career started. He escaped the Wannstedt era at Pittsburgh and ended up in Delaware.
Ended up pretty good.
Not bad.
Won a Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong. But at this stage, I just don't get it. I don't think it fits the league. I don't think it fits even a running team. Give me a guy that can run the ball. Give me Lamar Jackson. I'll take a Lamar Jackson this day and age.
Kyler Murray.
Because he adds to your running thing. Again, and I know everyone's going crazy about Kyler Murray, and I know that this is an incredibly stupid thing to say, but I do want to see him at the combine. I do want to see what his height is. Because, if a 5'10 guy can play in the league, why can't a 5'9 and a half guy play in the league? You're pushing the boundaries at 5'10". 5'9 and a half, 5'8 and a half. How tall is he?
I think he's 5'9 and a half.
That's what you're hoping.
I don't know that I'm hoping that.
If he is legitimate? If he's 5'9 and a half, rounds out to 5'10. Who cares? Look at what Russell Wilson's done. Look at Doug Flutie. I get all that, right? And Flutie was what, 5'9? Mm-hmm. Is that the only guy you can think of? Again, pre-Sid Luckman, how tall was Sid Luckman?
Yeah, I don't know.
What was he like in high school?
I don't know many other short quarterbacks.
Sid Luckman listed 6 foot even.
Was he really?
Listed as, yeah.
Yeah, who
knows? Back in that day, though, he was probably one of the tallest players in the league.
Well, he was a running back, right, at Columbia that switched to quarterback when they went to the T formation. We'll never forget the way they
thrilled us all.
Matt Nagy sure didn't. Look, here's the thing that the Broncos could do to maybe salvage some of this ill will that's being pointed their way. They have the 10th pick of the draft. What if they drafted Kyler Murray there? And they pair him with Flacco the way that Lamar Jackson was sort of used in that offense with the Ravens. That wouldn't be a terrible combination, because Kyler Murray, whatever team he goes to, can be used in ways that you're not going to use your traditional drop back 6'3", 210 quarterback.
I think Kyler Murray can play in the NFL. I don't know 10th pick. I got to see who's on the board and who's available. And I wonder if they have enough on defense, if Fick has some other ideas. But they got to draft a quarterback. And I don't know that they have to do it at 10, but they have to do it in this draft.
Well, I think Dwayne Haskins will be gone by 10. So if you're going to draft a quarterback, Kyler Murray is the one who probably will be there. You're not going to draft a Duke kid, I don't think, that high. So we'll see. That's a discussion for another day.
Right. But you asked. You brought it up.
I did bring it up. I wanted to have you explain yourself, and I thought you did it very well.
Thank you, buddy. Mark Gannis will join us next. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
One thing he does before every game day is play Kenny Chesney's The Boys of Fall on the drive to the stadium to remind him why he does what he does, and says it fires him up.
I feel that chill, smell that fresh cut grass.
Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score. We are delighted to welcome in Mark Gannis. He's the president and co-founder of Sports Core. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, guys. Hey, what was that traffic to the airport? I'm heading out to the to Charlotte for the NBA All-Star Weekend this morning. I needed to pick that up.
Yeah, there was a shooting on the Kennedy, and they shut it down for a while, and it's just a mess.
Ooh.
Yeah, leave now. We'll hang up.
Another report at 7:40, Mark.
Yeah, there we go.
Hey, there we are, yeah.
I always a joy to talk to you, Mark, and we are very curious to get your take on the new Cubs television network and the fact that they have kind of I don't know what you call about the partnership that they have with Sinclair, which is apparently a pretty controversial partnership because of all the political overtones, whether they're real or imagined.
Well, I think the political part is imagined, because Sinclair is really just going to be involved in distribution. The one of the primary factors and one of the reasons the Cubs did this is because they get to control their own content. This is very similar to the Yankees and the YES Network. And if you're thinking broader, if you think long term, if you think that you have a brand that's very, very worth enhancing for the future, and you have other ways to monetize it, this is you really want to have control over your game broadasts and everything around them. And that's a big part, I believe, of why the Cubs went with Sinclair as their partner, and they're doing it themselves.
Wanting to monetize it is understandable, Mark. I wonder, what is the reasonable price point expectation when you look at ESPN? The average subscriber pays about $750 per month. Right. NBC Sports Chicago is right around $420 per month.
Right.
If you're the Cubs, what are you aiming for, and what's realistic?
Well, you know, you look at what some of the other RSNs are doing around the country. Look at what's been going on here. Here you've had, let's say for argument's sake, you've had Chicago Sportsnet, which used to be Comcast Sportsnet. Let's say that's in the $6 range right now, if that's where it is. Then you add what WGN charges, which, you know, now without the sports, certainly without the Cubs, that should go down. And then you add the Cubs new RSN to it. The numbers should be close to what the total is today. That's not going to be the case. Look, let's be realistic. NBC Sports Chicago is going to try not to take a 50% hit on their numbers just because they've lost 50% of their audience. That they're going to want to keep as much as they can, if not increase where they are. And that's where the sensitivities come in, especially in this day of cord cutting, where many of the subscribers, many of the customers are more price sensitive than they were before. So my guess is that you're going to see a number that's going to be somewhere a couple of bucks higher than where they are right now, not because more because of the parties that are currently getting money, and those would be NBC Sports Chicago and WGN, are going to try and retain their numbers, even though they're going to be losing a big part of their audience.
Hmm. And obviously we talk about programming, so how does the programming work for the new Cubs station? I mean, how do you actually put together a series of programs that will continue to gain viewership when the team isn't playing?
Well, that's going to be one of the big challenges for them. I would expect that there'll be a lot of secondary, tertiary sports from the area that are going to be part of it. I would expect that you're going to see things, whether it's these names I'm going to throw out or not, I don't know, but shoulder programming for things like Northwestern or like the Bears, who someday you may see the Wolves on here, things like that. You'll probably see some minor league baseball games, but I think we should look at is the YES Network as a model, where they have a long history, they have a deep fan base, and so things like Yankeeography, that's where they have programming based on the great Yankee players of the past. I think we'll see that with the Cubs players. We'll see a lot more behind the scenes stuff, and let's not forget the off season in baseball is now only, if it's this much, it's 5 months. The rest of the season, you know, we have pitchers and catchers reporting this week, and we're in mid-February. So the off season in baseball has actually gotten a lot smaller, and we have the hot stove league has become a much bigger thing, and people are more interested in baseball even in the off season and where the players are going and what's happening with free agency and things like that. But they will have a challenge putting together an off season programming package. I expect that they will do reasonably well, but you know, without having any of the major winter sports teams on there, that'll be a challenge for them.
Mark, I think it go back to what you said at the beginning, and the reality is that Sinclair will just be a distributor, and some of the political discussion that's taken place since the Cubs had made this announcement would be sort of a moot point. At the same time, there is that perception. There is that perception because of who Sinclair is and what's happened with some of the news stations that they've owned across the country, and they own 191 of them, that there will be some sort of intervention that you have to worry about if you're a Cubs fan. perception and reality, there might be a big gap there. But how do the Cubs approach that in terms of, you know, attacking it? Do they have to worry about that, and how big is that challenge?
I don't think they have to worry too much about it. Once that's more something that people discuss before the games are played. Once the games are played, and people want to watch the games, and they want to see what Chris Bryant is doing, they want to see what Rizzo is doing, they want to see how the team is doing. The questions of, you know, who's doing the back office accounting, you know, and who's got the control panel for the switches to make sure that, you know, the game from Arizona shows up on time. People don't really think about that very much.
It's very interesting, I think, when we start talking about pricing on this stuff. And I know that a lot of that is uncertain, but the YES Network apparently is $2.90, something like that. It's under $3 for their subscription.
No, much more.
It is
much more. Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Much more. I can tell you that with firsthand knowledge.
So what then would be the, you know, what price range are we looking at? Is there any way of determining, is it $10? Is it $13?
Well, I think on the aggregate for those three that I just talked about,
yeah,
you're probably somewhere in the $10 or $11 range right now for all three together. Meaning for those two right now, and all three together should be somewhere around there. It's not going to be, because as I told you, the two that exist are not going to want to take a big haircut, even though they're losing a big part of their audience. This is where the negotiations take place. And we'll see what winds up happening with them. But the point being, in New York, for example, not to scare Cubs fans, but Cablevision did not show the YES Network for a year. The first full season did not include Cablevision, which is the dominant cable company in the New York market. But they've had it ever since, and they've been really happy they've had it, because Yankee games on cable on the YES Network regularly beat over-the-air programming from the big four broadcast networks, regularly. And I would expect that will ultimately happen with the Cubs network as well.
And the Dodgers, right? The Dodgers had a problem with Time Warner?
Dodgers' situation is different, and let me tell you, I think the Cubs learned from the Dodgers' situation. Here's a key fact, key difference. Time Warner Cable, which was the company that did the deal with the Dodgers, was in direct competition with all of the cable companies for subscribers. They competed directly with DirecTV, with Comcast, with all the cable companies in the area. That's what the parties in LA were part of what they were saying was, we're not going to turn over our subscribers to a competitor. In Chicago, with the Cubs network, the Cubs and Sinclair are just content providers. They don't compete with Cablevision or Comcast, rather, or DirecTV for subscribers. And that's a very big difference between the two.
The climate's changed since the Cubs maybe thought about this or maybe started discussing this several years ago, Mark. And you look at the Dodgers example that we just talked about, maybe some other examples. Was this still a good idea in your mind? Was this still a successful execution of the plan?
Your point that the landscape has changed is absolutely right, and oh, by the way, it's going to change a lot more over the next few years. So it's no longer a situation where an RSN can be created and it's like you sit back and you clip coupons to get money in, because the subscribers are not staying with the cable companies and with the satellite companies the way they did before. So this cord cutting over the top OTT direct to consumer is not only a trend, it is likely to be the dominant way over the next decade or so that fans get this kind of programming. So you couldn't be more right that the landscape has changed, which actually makes it even more important for the Cubs to do this. And let me explain why. Fans are going to want their content, their sports content and other live content, in different ways. They're going to want it on their cell phones. They're going to want it some of it on demand. They're going to want to be able to get it without having a big cable bundle subscription, because they may have Netflix and that's all they want is Netflix, and they have their satellite for digital TV, and they don't want to pay $100 for a package to DirecTV or Comcast. And we're seeing that more and more. So how do the Cubs How are the Cubs able to get this in the hands of those subscribers or those fans who don't want to be subscribers, more and more of whom are younger and younger? This is the way to do it. They've got to control their own destiny. They've got to be in control of the way that, of the way that the content is distributed. If that means they go, it's wireless, it's wireless. If that means it's wired, it's wired. If that means it's satellite, every possible means without having any kind of legacy costs that are in place to help so that they want to push the customers to a subscription package, to a large cable package. This is going to be even more important as 5G comes in. Guys, 5G is a game changer. The most respected people, the most foresighted people in sports are really focused on how 5G is going to change the world, their world, and the world. And so this is really important for the future, that the Cubs are able to get to their fans in any way the fans want it. And the Cubs programming, unlike, I'm sorry to say, the White Sox programming, for example, is more like the NFL. The Cubs are like the NFL. People will find wherever those games are because they want them so much. They'll find that programming because they want it so much. And as we move into a more of a world of sports gambling and other side interests that revolve around sports, these kinds of distribution systems and control over your own message are going to be more and more important.
Mark, thanks a ton. Really appreciate
your
time.
Great stuff, Mark. Thank you very much.
All right, my pleasure, guys.
That's Mark Gannis, Sports Core. Let's get to Joe with an update.
I think the political part is imagined, because Sinclair is really just going to be involved in distribution. Primary factors, and one of the reasons the Cubs did this, is because they get to control their own content. This is very similar to the Yankees and the YES Network. And if you're thinking broader, if you think long term, if you think that you have a brand that's very, very worth enhancing for the future, and you have other ways to monetize it, this is you really want to have control over your game broadcasts and everything around them. And that's a big part, I believe, of why the Cubs went with Sinclair as their partner, and they're doing it themselves.
It's time to grow up, Snowflake.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. And again, there's a lot of controversy out there about Sinclair because in their local networks they own, they have forced all the anchors to read certain copy about certain...
Promotional videos.
Videos, which are basically about...
fake news.
Well, again, how can you have all these people do that and pretend like it's not your viewpoint, but their viewpoint, which is what you do when you talk about local news affiliation.
Yeah, they have had an agenda with the local news broadcast. They own 191 local news stations, and that has been part of the discussion when you talk about Sinclair. That said, in fairness, that is the news operations. This is a sports network. And I think that when Mark Gannis says that there will not be, you know, any sort of the political discussion won't affect the presentation of Cubs games and Cubs programming, I think that's what the Cubs will want to emphasize. And I think when we talk to Crane Kenny at 8:30, he can reinforce that idea. And I think it's probably truer and closer to the reality. The perception is what it is right now because of what you just described. But I don't know that that's going to be – you're not going to have a sense of that when you're watching the Cubs. Now, it still bothers some people. We're hearing from people that it's still – the affiliation in itself – is something they're going to have to get past in order to pay whatever they're going to have to pay to watch Cubs games. And that's understandable as well. It's going to need some more time before this all fleshes out.
I don't think most consumers, most sports fans, go around thinking about where their dollars ultimately end up, in whose coffers, if you will. But I think that when you start talking about bias programming, and there are a lot of people saying, hey, the programming on all these other stations is biased in a different way, and why is it only the right bias and not the left bias? That is, I think it's just because it's more overt. And again, we're in Chicago, we're talking about a Chicago sports team, so I think that for the first time there are people that have stopped and are looking at things, and they're not saying, well, you know, how much money is Laura Ricketts raising? They're saying,
well, the political interests of everybody has been more pervasive in everyday discussion.
Yes,
I think in recent
than
year,
ever
in right. recent months and in the last couple of years.
Yeah,
it's definitely it's more part of Everything is extreme. So I think it's either or, black or white. And I do think there's some gray area here, because this isn't going to be something that is part of the telecast. I think when you watch a baseball game, if you watch a Cubs game, the only bias you're worried about is the announcers. Are they pro Cardinals? Are they pro White Sox? Are they going to be pro Cub? They better be pro Cub on the Cub Network.
Well, you would imagine.
That's the idea.
But that was always a complaint with Hawk, that he was too pro White Sox. And as a White Sox fan, I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. I would really enjoy, especially when he would be screaming at the umpire.
It's the definition of homer.
Stuff.
And if you have your own network, you're going to have a homer. That's not a criticism of Len or JD, but that's what you are getting. You're getting a bias for the Cubs, seeing it through the Cubs lens.
But the other question that arises, and it's a simple one that people need to ask themselves and answer, which is, do you want to pay more for the games? Part of it is, are you willing to pay more? Because I think the answer is no one wants to pay more. But what you're looking at is now an added fee, right? An added fee to be able to watch the games that you used to watch for a different price. The price of watching your team is going up, period, end of story.
But maybe not. And hear me out on this, because if Gannis is right, and I believe he is, if I am able to now consume the Cubs only, a la carte, on my phone or my iPad or my laptop, and I can now get rid of the sports package. Like, I was only getting, I only had that because I wanted to have access to the Cubs games. Like, I didn't care about the Bulls, I didn't care about the Hawks, I didn't care about the Sox, I didn't care about any extra Bears stuff.
Well, you
I
clearly actually, don't work in sports radio then.
Of course not. I'm talking about there are
I
people
know,
out
I'm
there
giving
like
you
that.
A hard time.
The point is that you might actually save money on this. You might actually be able to go down to Netflix and the Cubs only and actually save money on this whole thing.
Possibly.
If
I mean,
you're
that,
only
that,
a
that,
Cubs
we don't
sportsman.
Know.
Right.
We can't project that. I think, and that's what he's saying as well. And you might be willing to pay more if you can watch it on your phone whenever you want to watch it.
You can't project that. That's $100 a month. If the Cubs are going to charge $100 a month
to
watch it on your phone,
you have dropped everything but Netflix, right? You have Netflix for your movies and stuff.
Well, I'm also a subscriber to NJPW World, the Japanese wrestling provider, which is 999 yen per month.
Yes,
very affordable.
How many yen would you pay for the Cubs?
Yeah, would you pay yen for the White Sox?
If there was a White Sox network, I think I would pay, and this is admittedly dependent on whether or not they were good or not, this current iteration of the White Sox. Maybe not so much.
Well, there
but
is.
If we're talking 05,
NBC Sports
06.
Chicago is going to be essentially the White Sox network along with the Bulls
and
the Blackhawks.
And that's the beauty the White Sox have, is they have the White Sox, they have the Bulls, the Blackhawks. I hear what you're saying, Dustin, but most sports fans in Chicago are not simply Cub fans. I get it. Like, they're Cub fans or Sox fans. I get that part. Most of them are still Bear fans. Most people, if you're a sports fan, it's very rare that you're limited to one baseball team and no other. And the beauty of NBC Sports Chicago is that you have Bears programming on there, and you got the before and after breakdown. You get to go into the locker room with the cameras on Bear games. You get the White Sox, you get the Bulls, the Blackhawks. There is a value because you're a total sports fan. And that's why, Dustin, I don't think you're ever going to save money. I think you're going to have an added fee. If you're a general sports fan, like our listeners are, like we are, and I know we're not just sports fans, but I love sports and I watch all of it. And I'll pay what the price is for the Cubs network. But I'll never stop watching the other teams. And I don't think there are a few people that will, Dustin.
But what his point is, from what Mark Gannis's point is that the Cubs are one of those teams that people will be willing to find where they're going to, how they need to get their games, and they will be willing to pay more. I think that because the brand is very strong right now. If the brand weren't as strong as it is right now, you wouldn't be seeing this happen. And so maybe I would be very surprised if the price is less than what it is now, if you're going to save money by watching the Cubs games and subscribing to the Marquee Sports Network. That would be surprising.
312-644-6767. Let's try Kurt. He's in Bolingbrook. Good morning, Kurt.
Hey, Kurt.
Hey, morning, guys. I'm kind of old. A lot of those platforms he was talking about, I don't use. But the Cubs started doing a whole lot of Facebook Live last year for their games. Mm-hmm. Is this deal going to change any of that, or Is that going to be lost now because of the Pinnacle deal?
Well, the Marquee deal, and I think that, I don't know how it would affect the social media platforms, but I would think that there would be some sort of, it would be the Marquee Sports Network's Facebook page, if that were going to be the case. But if it's available via streaming, I would have a hard time seeing why it would be available via social media.
Let's try Mark. Mark is in Rockford. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hey there.
Good morning.
I just got one quick point, very simple, and I can't support anybody that's going to help put money in Sinclair's pocket after all of what you guys have said about Sinclair and what the issues are with them.
Fair enough. There's some people that agree with you.
We got that reaction on the text line.
And we got the opposite reaction.
Oh, yeah. We have people mad that we've even mentioned it. And why are you bringing up Sinclair? But you know what? You have to think about all those things. Again, those are all legitimate reasons to watch or not watch or whatever. You're definitely, you're putting money in their hands.
The polarizing reaction to the mention of Sinclair underscores why you have to mention Sinclair. You have to responsibly look at what they represent and what the reputation is and whether it's earned or not. That could be a very subjective decision by you, and that's your choice. But it is part of the equation, whether the Cubs want to acknowledge that or not.
312-644-6767. Let's try Chris. Chris is in Chicago. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good morning. Hey, I think one thing that a lot of people are underestimating is, the amount of Cubs fans that have never spent a single day in Chicago in their life, besides maybe their one game they get to at Wrigley. I've lived all over the country, and there are Cubs fans that have no reason to be Cubs fans other than the fact that they grew up in WGN. That was the only baseball team they could watch. I think there is a huge market that, with this network, they can tap into, and they don't need to worry about if they're Blackhawks or Bears fans.
Okay. So they're going to make money nationwide, if not locally. And, again, when you start looking at the pricing, I'm looking at a story. Where did this story come from? I don't see but they're basically saying in this story that I don't know where it's from, but I think this is very interesting. NBC Sports Chicago receives about $4.20.
Yeah, that was in the Tribune yesterday.
Oh, this is the Tribune story. Okay,
$7.45 for ESPN, $4.20 for the Tribune.
Both of which are
the NBC Sports Chicago.
Both of which are going to increase.
Yeah, they're going up. The price of everything is going to go up. That's just inflation. But I think that when you look at how much are you willing to dip into your pocket per month to pay for the Cubs, what's the point of no return? What's the price point of no return? Is it $10 a month? Is it $8 a month? Are you going to quibble over a couple dollars that way? Some people will, some people won't.
But you'll be double. There's a very good chance you'll double whatever you're paying for what you get now. That's a very good chance. We'll discuss it. We're going to take a quick moment. We'll bring in Julie DeCaro. We'll ask her about what she's heard from Theo, about what's going on with Addison Russell, and about the extent of domestic violence training that Major League Baseball is doing and that Cubs are promising. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.